Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. And I pray that you've prayed that God will be our helper tonight. Revelation chapter 1. Let's look in verse 1. If you would, let's stand for the reading of God's precious word. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. He sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to stand behind this sacred desk and preach one more time. We pray, God, that you'd use us and help us tonight. And Lord, that you'd help the folk that are here. God, we do know that someone could be lost here tonight, need saved. I pray, God, that you'd speak to their heart and show them that you're still the same God that still saves. I pray, God, that you'd help them to see that tonight. I pray, God, that you'd help them to see their sin clearly, convict them and draw them to this altar. I pray, God, that you'd help this preacher, God, give us unction and liberty, God, to preach tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd just use us tonight in a mighty way, and that you are glorified in everything that we say. Thank you for everything in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
I want to bring a message tonight with the Lord's help on looking to the Lamb. Looking to the Lamb. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12 verses 1 and 2 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." Now listen, "let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." I don't know how you feel, but I feel that that weight and that sin that does so easily beset us is when we stop looking unto Jesus. Amen. We start looking at everything else. We start looking at our own ability instead of what Christ can do.
Yeah.
Now, the book of Revelation is the capstone to the Bible. God, in the canon of the book, when he put it together and said, "This is it, it is finished," the book of Revelation was that capstone that he said, "My book is finished." Aren't you glad we got a finished book tonight? We don't add to it. We can't take away from it. It's here. Amen. And we hold it in our hands. And so I'm glad for that tonight. And so this is not a majestic book. This is not a book that we can look at and say, "Well, that's not for us." This book is for us. In fact, he said, if we read it and we preach it, it's a blessing to us. And so this book that we read, it's not a mystical book. It's a book to edify. It's to lift us up and to let us know, hey, the devil's going to try to scare us. He's going to beat those drums, and we can look and say, "Hey, God's not finished. I've read the back of the book and we win." Amen. I know who's going to win because I've read this book.
Amen.
And so it edifies us. It lifts us up. Amen. Hey, I'm kind of like an old mule. If you give me some water and you holler at me a little bit, I'll do better. Amen. Notice with me at this book, the words of this book, it's this. Now, old timers say it this way. It's the book of Revelations. But it's not the book of Revelations. It's the book of singular revelation.
Amen.
God is pulling back something and showing us something. It's a revelation. It's a revealing. God is saying, "I'm going to reveal something unto you." It's the book of Revelation. Who is the revelation of? His darling son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He said, I'm going to show you my son. And so it's a revelation. It's the pulling back of a veil to show us someone whom God loves. Amen. He wants to show us His glory. He wants to show us His majesty.
Yes, He does.
He wants to show us His honor.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, the book reveals the person of Jesus Christ. And He is a person.
Yes, sir.
Amen. The Holy Ghost is a person, by the way, too.
Amen.
Amen. And so He shows us the person. He shows us the plan. Things which must shortly come to pass. There's a plan. Hey, our theme at the church this year, just by God has designed it that way. We didn't sit down and think it up. But God has a plan.
Amen.
God has a plan. He didn't just, hey, it didn't knock God off the throne when Robert got saved.
No.
It didn't knock God off the throne when you got saved. It didn't knock God off the throne when I got saved. God has a plan.
Amen.
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 He planned on me being saved.
Yes, sir, brother.
Amen.
That's right.
And so God has a plan. Then when we look down through these books of the Bible, we see the wonderful plan that God had. I like there's an old book where it talks about the prophets, how that they spoke about Christ Jesus. And it shows one standing way back here and he's pointing. And as he's pointing out, it shows Christ on the cross, Christ risen, Christ coming again.
Amen.
And so God has a plan. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the book of Revelation also has a promise. Amen?
Yes,
the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. To who? To Christ. He told him. He said, I am going to give you a revelation. I'm going to show you to all the world.
Amen.
I've made a promise. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 through 11 says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, and of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. The fullness of the reward in Christ Jesus, because He willingly came here and died on that cross. And God raised Him from the dead. Amen. And exalted Him to His right side.
Yes, brother.
In this revelation, we behold Him in His omnipotence.
Mm-hmm.
God is all powerful.
All powerful.
Omniscience. He's all knowing. Amen. In His omnipresence. He's everywhere in time at the same time.
Yeah.
Amen. His holiness, His justice, His mercy, and His grace. It's all right to say amen right there.
Amen.
Now, in this revelation, our eyes are fixed on one person, and that's Jesus Christ, which God said this about Him in Matthew chapter 12, verse number 18, behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon Him, and He shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Listen to this, Revelation chapter 19, verse 10, for the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy.
Yes, sir.
Hey, you want to preach on prophecy? It better be about Jesus.
Yes, sir, buddy.
Amen. He's the fulfillment of all that prophecy. Now, since this revelation is about Christ, how is He revealed? How is He revealed? 28 times in the book of Revelation, He's called the Lamb. Now, let me give you this. You say, how's that important? Let's say you go up here at the Subaru place, and you make up 28 signs that says, come to Emory Gap Baptist Church. And in that little half mile, 28 times, they read, come to Emory Gap Baptist Church. How many of you think they're going to get the picture by sign 28? God put in that little book of Revelation 28 times, He's my Lamb.
Amen, Brother Steve.
He's my Lamb. He's the Lamb of God. And that's who I want you to look to, is the Lamb of God. Amen. Now, if we look at this whole Bible, we can look down through time, and I'm certainly not going to cover the whole Bible, but we'll look at just a little bit, and I'm not to the message yet, amen? In Genesis, he's the Lamb typified. He's a type of Jesus who is coming. How? In Abel's lamb. Abel brought a lamb because he knew that it was blood. It was blood that God required. It was a sacrifice of that innocent lamb that would get him in the presence of God. And when Abraham went up on that mountain, amen, he's the lamb prophesied. He said, Daddy, here's the wood. Here's the fire. But where's the sacrifice? He said, son, God will provide himself a lamb.
A lamb.
He will. And it wasn't that ram in the thicket.
No.
It was that lamb that was coming.
Yeah.
And so he prophesied that I'm going to bring a lamb to this earth. And that lamb is going to die for you and me. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Then among the prophets, he's the lamb personified. Isaiah 53, he becomes the person. Amen. That person. You can take a Jewish man to Isaiah 53 and show him the Lamb of God.
Yeah. That's right.
Amen. Then in the Gospels, he's the Lamb crucified. And they crucified him there. Amen. But in this glorious, blessed book of the book of Revelation, he's the Lamb glorified.
Glorified.
He said, I'm going to show you my glorified Lamb in the book of Revelation. Now, let's look to the Lamb. I'm going to give you about four or five things and we'll be through. First thing we see is we go through the book of Revelation, and chapters 1 through 3, we find the Lamb's worship. The Lamb's worship. Let's look in verse 17, if you would. 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. Not that I'm dead and now I am he that liveth.
Yeah.
Not that I used to live and now I'm dead, but I was dead, now I live. Amen.
Amen.
And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
And have the keys of hell and of death. Now, let me give you this. There's an occupation of the soul, and that occupation of the soul is called worship. When your soul is occupied on nothing but God,
true.
That's called worship.
True, brother.
When in this picture that we have here, John on the Isle of Patmos, Bible says that he showed him some things.
Yeah.
And when he showed him some things, he saw those seven stars. Now, I don't know about you, but if I saw seven stars floating in air, I believe that'd occupy my time. Would it not you?
Amen. Mm-hmm.
But the Bible says there was one standing in the midst of those stars,
yeah,
holding the seven candlesticks, and all he could see was him.
Him.
When our soul is occupied on Jesus,
on him.
Hey, I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. Listen to me. It don't matter how well you can sing if you're singing for him.
That's right.
It don't matter. It don't matter how talented you are preaching or how not talented you are preaching if you're preaching for him.
Amen.
One old man told me one time, he said, my daddy used to get up and sing and said daddy was crippled, daddy barely could walk. And he said, to be honest with you, daddy couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. But he said, daddy would grab a hold of that old communion table and he'd look right up in heaven and he'd look back and he'd say, I'm going to sing for Jesus. You can listen if you want to.
Amen.
He said, my daddy's handprints on the edge of that table where he sung for God.
That's what it ought to be.
Occupied, looking to the Lamb. John on the Isle of Patmos wasn't worried about why he was there. He wasn't sitting there crying about the terrible time that he was having. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And the Lord showed up and occupied his soul. And he saw the Lord. Amen. 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 Psalm 45:1 says, my heart is inditing a good matter. Amen. Jesus reached out and touched John while he was there. I imagine this, every time I find in the Bible that Jesus showed up, and sometimes just if an angel showed up, they fell down like dead men. And I imagine that while Jesus was there, John fell on the ground. And the Bible says he reached down and touched him. Amen. That's the worship of the Lamb. Now listen to this. There was a throne before him. He saw the throne. Can I say something to you? He is my king. And he was John's king.
Yeah.
And he saw him on his throne. Amen. Listen to me. They sang that song, "The King is coming, the King is coming." The King has already come right here. Amen. There is a kingdom of heaven where he is coming. He's coming back to set up a kingdom for those Jewish people. But can I tell you, there's a kingdom of God. And in this grace age, this church age, he has saved me by his wondrous grace and moved into my heart.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's the kingdom of God. And my king is already here. Now, not only did he see a throne before him, but he heard a voice. He heard a voice behind him. Now, we're talking about the same voice that spoke creation into existence.
Same one, brother.
That same voice. We're talking about that same voice that spoke on Mount Sinai. We're talking about that same voice that spoke seven times on Calvary. That voice. Can I say something to you? John was familiar with that voice.
He knew it.
He'd heard that before. In fact, he was the disciple that laid his head in his bosom. He'd heard his heart beat. He'd heard the blood flushing through his heart. But John heard it, and this is what he said. That's what he said, not what I said. He said it was the sound of many waters.
Amen.
Eddie Davis cleared that up for me one time. He said, I went out to see Niagara Falls. And he said, they put us on this little raft. And he said, people was a-talking, and you couldn't make out what people were saying, but everybody was talking. But he said, the closer we got to that falls, the voices went away, and all we could hear was the many waters.
That's it.
And when we worship the Lord, we'll see he's still in charge.
It's him.
Hey, man. He's still in charge. His voice is still clear. And let me give you something else. He reached down and he touched him.
Wow.
He was familiar with that. He was familiar with that right hand.
Yeah, that touch.
He touched him. Can I tell you something? We need a touch of Jesus in this day.
Amen.
We need him to touch us. Amen.
Yeah, I need it.
We need him to touch us. Well, revival's not in my back pocket or Brother Bob's back pocket or Brother Robert's back pocket. Or you didn't bring it tonight. But if we get touched by him,
amen,
we'll go out different than we came in. Hallelujah.
Every time.
The worship of the Lamb. There John was on the Isle of Patmos, and he began to worship him. Then we see in chapters 4 and 5, we find the worth of the Lamb.
Oh, yes.
Chapters 4 and 5. Now, let me give you something about chapters 4 and 5. I want to read verse number 1 and Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. I know you know what this means, but we're going to go through it anyway. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice that I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me. Now it went from waters to trumpets, amen? And listen to this, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Now, the book of Revelation is laid out in three parts. I know you know this, I know you're smart, and you know this, but it's this. It's things which thou hast seen. Revelation 1:19 tells us, things which thou hast seen. That's the historical facts. Amen? The things of chapter 1. That was John on the Isle of Patmos. That was the picture that he got of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then he said, there's a second part, and that's things which are. And that's typical. That's the church age described in chapters 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
That's this present time that we live in. Hey, did you know God knew all about that before it even got here?
Yeah.
And he showed us those seven churches. And those were literal seven churches that were literal in that day. But they also speak to us of the church age and its progression. And now, listen to me. Some people say, well, we're in the Laodicean age. I believe that. But I also believe we're still in the Philadelphian age.
Yes, sir, brother.
I believe that the great revival can happen. I believe that God can. Hey, man, if you say revival can't happen in our day, you'll make God a liar because he said he wanted to.
Amen.
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 Amen. And so he said those things are now. Then there's the prophetical part, things which shall be hereafter. Now that's from chapter 4 to chapter 22. Now listen to this. Chapter 4 verse 1 is the rapture of the church. Come up hither. He's calling the church out. You don't find the church on the earth. You'll find the church, but you don't find it on the earth from chapter 4 on. And so, Christ, listen to me, folks. You're sitting there like, one preacher said, you're sitting there, you're like that man sitting there with a rope. You don't know if you found a rope or lost a cow. The raptures can happen at any, but Brother Robert's already said it. The last part of the body could be made up at any moment. Amen. Nothing left to be fulfilled. Christ could come today.
That's right.
Is that not exciting?
Yeah, buddy.
It might not be if you're not saved, but if you're saved, it's exciting.
Yes, sir.
That Christ could come at any time. All right. Now, so that puts what we're about to read in the third category. It's after the rapture of the church. Now, look in chapter 5, verse 6. Or look in verses 1 through 4, I'm sorry. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who's worthy? Now we're talking about the worth of the Lamb. Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. No man is the answer. Who is worthy? No man.
No man.
Now, listen to me. John was a Jewish man. You can't get around that fact. He was raised a Jewish man.
Amen.
He knew what happened if a man lost everything.
Yeah.
He knew what happened. That man that lost everything that he previously owned, went to the temple. And it was sealed up in a book. And that book was sealed. And the only way that man could get it back was three ways. One way was he could repay it all. He could repay it all. And can I tell you what sin lost, we can't repay.
Amen.
We just lost it. The second way was the year of the Jubilee could hit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
In the year of the Jubilee, everything went back to the owner. The problem with that is the year of the Jubilee is when the Lord comes back and sets up His kingdom on this earth. And if you're not saved, you can't get in the Jubilee.
Lost it.
You lost it. There's another way. Called a kinsman redeemer.
Yes, sir.
If you had a close kin, and he had to be close kin, he could come and restore everything back to you.
That's right.
It's called a kinsman redeemer. Now, listen to this. The kinsman redeemer had some qualifications that he had to meet.
Yeah.
First one was, he had to be close kin. He had to be close related. You say, how's that a type of Jesus? How's that a type of the Lamb? The Bible says this, and you might not get this, so I'll read it twice. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same.
Yeah.
Now listen to this. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. How is it weak through the flesh? Let me just break this down. In the Old Testament, what was killed? What was killed to get you in for a year? An animal. Are you close kin to an animal? Shake your head no. We're not kin to monkeys. And they didn't sacrifice monkeys. Let me say this to you. It was weak through the flesh.
Yeah.
All it could do was cover sin.
That's right.
But the Bible says Jesus came in the flesh.
Amen.
Amen.
In like manner. In fashion as a man, the Bible says.
Yeah.
And died for us on the cross.
Amen.
He is our kinsman redeemer.
Amen.
He is our kin. He is our close relative. Amen. And so, the Bible says he had to be kin. And then not only that, he had to be able and willing.
Willing.
Able. Is he able?
Yeah.
The Bible says... He came without sin. He went under every temptation that he was tempted. The Bible says so as we are, but without sin.
Yep.
Amen.
The sinless Christ came to die for us. He's able. He has what it takes to pay the debt.
Yes.
Amen. He's got the perfect blood that would pay that debt. Yes. You cannot pay it. Works won't get you to heaven. No. Goodness won't get you to heaven. The Bible says all our righteousness is filthy rags.
Filthy rags.
But Christ came and was able. And was He willing?
Yes.
He stood before Pilate. And this is what He said. Pilate said, I'll just have you killed. And I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
He said, you can't kill me.
I have no power.
You don't have the power to kill me. But He said, I have the power to lay it down and raise it up.
Yeah.
Amen.
Not only was He able, but He was willing. Amen. And let me give you one more. You don't hear too much. He had to be free Himself.
Yeah, He did.
He had to be a free man Himself. Listen to me, sin didn't bind Christ. And listen to me, the Bible says what the law could not do, He did.
He did.
By grace, He saved you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
What a Savior.
Amen. Now, He was without sin. The Bible says this, a lamb without blemish and without spot. Revelation chapter 5, again, look in verse 5. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth. Now, that seven seal book, and if I'm wrong, Brother Robert, to straighten it out, that seven seal book, I believe, is what was lost in Adam. Not only did Adam die physically and spiritually, but the earth was cursed.
That's right.
That's the title deed to the earth.
Amen.
And it's sealed up at seven seals and placed in the hand of God in the throne. And the Bible says, who was worthy to take that seven seal book? Who
True.
Was? Who was? And He said, don't cry. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah.
Prevailed.
Had prevailed. How did He prevail? He died on the cross. He rose again the third day. He sits in heaven on the right hand of God. He had prevailed.
Amen.
To open the seals thereof.
Amen.
Amen. I might, that back row might get excited here in a minute. Amen. He had prevailed.
Amen.
The one who could open the seals, that kinsman redeemer, came forth. And can I give you something? The Bible says He saw Him standing.
Yeah, buddy.
He's not dead.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. He saw Him standing. He saw Him slain. He saw, listen to me, they said, look at the Lion. He looked over and saw the Lamb. And He said, there's the Lamb who had been slain for you and I. Then He said, look, there's the number seven. Seven horns of power. Seven eyes of perception. Seven spirits of pervasion. Christ was found worthy, number one, because of His credentials. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You say, what do you mean, preacher? God laid it out in the Old Testament that it would have to be from the tribe of Judah.
That's right.
There stood the Lion.
Amen.
From the tribe of Judah.
Yeah,
hey, some of us are getting excited right there.
Yeah.
Amen. He had the credentials. Not only that, but He had the crucifixion.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
The Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Now, look at this. Look in verse 7, Revelation 5. He came and took the book out of the right hand of Him that sat upon the throne. And when He had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And Thou and hast made us unto our God kings and priests. And we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard a voice of the many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb.
Amen.
the worth of the Lamb. Number three, chapter 6 through 18 shows us the Lamb's wrath.
Oh, Lord.
You didn't want me to go there, but that's what it shows us. Listen, look in verse 14 of chapter 6. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and the rocks and the mountains and said unto the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Friend, let me say something to you. The devil would like for you to think that the 7 years of tribulation is all his doing. Because he's got that Superman that's coming.
Yeah.
The Antichrist, he wants you to think that he's the one that's got the power. But the Bible plainly says, sir, it's the wrath of the Lamb.
Wrath of the Lamb.
Now I'm going to give you something about a lamb. A lamb can't even bite you. They don't have, is it upper teeth they don't have? They can't. Have you ever heard of a lamb attack? You've never heard of that, have you? You know why? They don't attack. So when it says the wrath of the Lamb, it has to be pretty bad, does it not?
That's right.
Amen.
Now Christ has already come. And those that are left on this earth are going to have the wrath of God poured out on them.
Right, preacher.
Somebody, you know what I used to think? This is how stupid I was. And probably still that stupid. But I used to say this, I'm going to watch my aunt. If she leaves out of here, I'm going to get saved real quick because God's rapturing people out. That's what I thought. That's what's stupid. I mean, that's just what I thought.
Yeah.
But then after I got saved, I read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that if I've heard the gospel, I can't be saved in that tribulation period.
Ain't going to happen.
I believe a lie. I wouldn't receive him while I was here and had grace to. And then it's going to be too late for me.
Amen.
And the wrath of God will be poured out on this earth. Sinner friend, if you're lost here tonight, the time to be saved is today.
Right now.
Amen. Now is the accepted time.
Amen.
Seek him while he may be found. Seek him while he's near.
Amen.
Not wait. Not wait and see what's going to happen. But today. You know why? We don't know when the Lord's coming.
We don't know.
It's going to be a time of incomparable suffering. Somebody said, well, it can't be worse than the Holocaust. Oh, yes, friend.
Yeah, it could be.
Oh, yes. It's going to be a time of suffering. The Bible talks about those demons that come out of those pits and sting me and where they want to die and would normally die and cannot die.
Away from them.
It's going to be a time where they say to the rocks, they look up now, talking to a rock, fall on me and kill me, and they won't die.
Cool. Amen.
I never thought of that. You're right. Worldwide turmoil. Worldwide chaos.
Worldwide.
Earth-shaking judgment. There's a seventh trumpet that goes off down there, and the Bible says there's silence. Did you know that any time there was silence in the presence of God, it was judgment?
Judgment. You're telling it right, preacher.
He put out the lights for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And judged his son for me.
Amen.
That high priest went behind that veil, silent. I'm telling you, the wrath of the Lamb is coming.
Amen.
Let's go on. Let's look at the Lamb's wedding. Look in chapter 19, verse 7.
Yeah.
Now, in case you don't know that, everybody that's saved make up the bride of Christ. We're the bride of Christ. We've been born again. We're the bride of Christ. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. Brother Robert, you ever preach on the Jewish wedding?
It's been a long time.
All right, let me give you a little something.
Not here.
Let me give you a little something. Jewish wedding. Now, let me say this to you. Everything that Jesus did, he did it so the Jews would know what he was talking about. Amen? Now, here's the Jewish wedding in a nutshell. I can't give you that. It took me how many weeks? 6 weeks to preach it at the church. But let me give you this in a nutshell, and I'll try to be quick. In a Jewish wedding, the bridegroom would come down and find his bride. Amen? Can I say something to you? God found you. You didn't find him. He'd find her. Then he would come into her home where her daddy was, and he would make a proposition. Mm-hmm. Will you marry me? That's found in Rebekah.
Yeah, buddy.
Amen? Amen. Will you go with me?
Yeah.
That Eliezer's type of the Holy Ghost came down, and that Holy Ghost wooed you one day to be saved, and you said, I will.
Thank
she said,
Lord.
I'll go. Amen? Amen.
I'll go.
Then he sits down with the Father, and he offers him the price. He said, this is what I'll pay for her.
What a price.
Thank God. I'm not worth anything, but it cost a lot to save me and you.
Amen.
Amen.
And he offered her the price. Then they would take out two glasses. And they would the bridegroom and the bride, they would drink together. And the father would gather those glasses up and put them away. After the deal was made, the bridegroom would go and prepare a place for her to come.
Yeah.
You getting that?
Yeah.
He prepared a place for her. What's Jesus doing right now?
Yeah, buddy.
He's preparing a place for her. Now, that father, he would go to his father's house and he would begin to prepare a place for her. And while he was there preparing a place for her, what did she do? She made ready her wedding garment.
Made ready.
Now, she's got all the time in the world to work on that wedding garment. The Jews had a way to take gold and spin it into thread. They called it wrought gold. It's in the Bible.
Yeah.
Okay?
You're telling
me. Now here's what she would do. While she was waiting on him, she would sew beautiful embroidery into that white garment. Now, that's our life.
Yes, sir, buddy.
That's our God-honoring life. That while he's away, we're sewing. You with me?
Yeah.
Now, she wore that on her wrist everywhere she went. You know why? She didn't know when he's coming. So she was ready. Amen?
Amen?
And everywhere she went, she kept that on her wrist. And she would sew in that thing and work in that thing and live her life so that when he did come, she'd be ready. Hey, nighttime would come, she'd light her a little candle and put it in the window. Why? She wanted to know where she could be found. Did you know he knows where you're at? And he knows where I'm at. Somebody said, I sure hope he can find me at the rapture. He knows where you're at.
He knows.
Then, the father would tell the son, go get your bride. He'd take the best man out to the edge of the city. And he'd look down there and see that candle. And the best man would cup his hands and say, behold, the bridegroom cometh. And he would sweep down there and catch her away out of her house and take her back to the Father's house.
Suddenly.
Amen. Suddenly, like a thief in the night. Take her back to the Father's house. Now they'd consummate the marriage. And when the marriage was over, there was a supper.
Amen.
Friend, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is coming.
Yes.
And if you're saved,
thank God.
If you're saved, you're part of the bride.
Amen.
Of Christ. Let me give you one more thing and I'll be through. Amen. Let's look at the wife. Now that was the bride. Let's look at the wife. Revelation chapter 21, verse 9. There came unto me one of the seven angels which had seven vials full of seven last plagues and talked with me saying, come hither. I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. The Bible talks about its magnificence.
Mm-hmm.
We've never seen anything like that. They tell me, I've never been there. I hope to go one day, but they've never told me. I've never been there, but they tell me this. They tell me that when you step out to the edge of the Grand Canyon, it takes your breath. They said, every time I go, I stand in awe of that place.
Magnificence.
Oh my, can you imagine? Can you imagine when that holy city comes down out of heaven?
Woo!
How magnificent that's going to be. Amen. I'm glad I got something coming better than this place.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Is right. It's magnitude, 1,500 miles square. It's big enough for all of us.
Yeah.
Amen. Foundations and walls of jewels, streets of gold, gates of pearl. Each gate, one pearl. God's got hid somewhere the biggest oyster you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah.
Then there's some things missing from that day.
Thank God.
No more sea. Amen. The sea stands for separation, worldliness. No more of that. We'll all be together that day. Unless you're not saved, you won't be there. No more death. Thank God we'll never have to put another wreath on a door.
Mm.
We'll never have to put another spray on a casket.
Never.
No more death. No more sorrow. No more crying. No more pain.
Thank God.
No more need.
Amen.
No more night.
Amen.
He's the light of that city. Now let me give you this one verse. It's two verses. Let me give you this. Folks, we're living in a time where people are hoping, they're putting their hope in a politician to make America great again or to make this world something that it's not. But our hope's not there. And through all the talk, we would like to believe it, but through all the talk, we still hear the devil's drums. But in Revelation chapter 19, right before Jesus comes, and a voice came out of the throne saying, "Praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that hear Him, both small and great." And I heard, as it were, the voice of a multitude, a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, "Hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." Right before He comes, He said, "I'm still on the throne.
Still.
Look into the Lamb." I know there's people in here tonight that's got sorrow. I know it. I go in sorrow and come out of sorrow. But there's more sorrow. I know there's people here that's got sorrow. But can I tell you, if you'll just look to the Lamb, if you'll just look to the Lamb, it makes this life. Hey, sir, I don't know the story. Don't know it. But I picked up enough to know God won a victory for you.
Yes, sir, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
And there's people in here, if they'd be honest and raise their little hand up in there, and say, "God's won victories for me in my life."
Amen.
So it don't matter how bad it gets.
Amen.
We can look to the Lamb.
Look to Him.
And He'll help us tonight.
Amen.
He'll help us get through it. Can I tell you something old Dr. Rainwater told me one time? He said, "That wolf, he follows us down in the valley. But," he said, "it ain't long he loses our scent because of the lily."
True.
Amen.
Amen. True.
He said, "I'll walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death."
Amen.
He's the lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon. Looking to the Lamb. He's the Lamb tonight.
Amen.
He'll save you tonight if you come.
Amen.
And He'll help you get through this bad patch.
He'll help you.
If you just come.
Yes, He
Amen.
Will.
Amen. Looking to the Lamb. What are you looking at tonight? What are you looking at tonight? Would you like to say, "Lord, I'm sorry. I need to be looking at You. I've looked at the wrong things. But here I am tonight." Wonderful thing about the Lord. It's called repentance. Not preached much anymore, but it's still there. He said, if we'd come. This is what He said. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive
Amen.
Us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
And if you'll come tonight, it's erased. And it starts over. Now, the consequences might not be erased. But your standing before God is made right tonight. Would you be willing to come?
Yeah.
Would you be willing to come? Let the Lamb take you through the rest of this life.